That's our decree, God. That's our decree and declaration, Lord. And you are faithful and just to bring it to pass in our lives. In this season, God, we're giving you everything, saying yes. Lord, no matter what it looks like, even if we don't have any clue to where it's going to lead, God, you're worthy of that trust. You're worthy, and we give you our trust. We give you our complete and total trust. We rely on you. We are dependent on you. This is our declaration of dependence on you. We declare today that we are dependent on you, God, for all things in our life, every area of our life, for your worthy Lord. Your worthy Lord, guide us, God, by your Spirit. Guide us by your Spirit, Lord. Guide us, Holy Spirit. Teach us, Holy Spirit. We surrender to you, Jesus. In joy and expectancy. Yes, Jesus. We're going to show a little clip that we have of something that we took on our land in Mozambique last summer. And those of you who were with us last summer aren't able to go this year, this will also bless you. So if we can turn the lights off and get that up, just to put it out there for you to be praying through, agreeing with, helping us take a step toward. As one of the aspects of this amazing trip, whoever has spoken to us in any way, shape, or form, prayer warriors, intercessors, friends here and abroad, have said the same thing, that there's something very different about this trip. It sends the fear of God through my bones. So I'm very expectant, I'm very excited, I'm very hopeful. I'm very watchful of what he's saying. I don't want to miss how he wants to use Frontline, how he wants to use us this summer, because he's a builder. And I really believe that it's important to show this. I think they have it and they can put it up, just so we can be on the same page. We have 12 acres on the sea, which have been given to us by the local people there, the leadership there, and also the government of Mozambique said yes, and it's fully taken care of, authorized, the legal papers are there, belongs to us. It's absolutely miraculous, which was shared last fall by Pastor Jose when he was here. And I was thinking yesterday, I was so grateful for the acreage that we have in Ghana, and been in touch with Pastor Samuel, and the 22 acres there, again, given to us for his transforming purposes. We've already taken steps on to build buildings there and hosting Kingdom Bible schools and other things there for years. And the Lord is saying, this is a year of acceleration. And we're getting into a new place now. For we've been faithful with a little. And he's trusted us with a lot. Things that seem way, way over our heads and way past our understanding. But he says, continue to trust me and watch what I will do. And it's going to exponentially increase. And you're all part of it. Because we're a body, we're a family together. So let's just go ahead and turn that up. We can.
We are here at Masiene and district of Shai Shai. So we are with our lead of the community. He is leading all this land here. From here where we are is where the land is beginning for people that has projects. And for this case, we are pioneers because we are the first ones to come here. And then there's an interesting story here, because we can see the mountain where during the Civil War people was coming to hide, and they call it America. They named the mountain America. Why? Because it is in higher place and they could see everybody when was coming, and they could see very far from here was a tower. So a very strong tower, because when they was coming here, they were saved. And you can see the rain. In Africa, people are believing in strong way that when they are doing something and rain will come, there's a blessing. So we believe also that we are blessed.
government to approve our request, and then we are in few steps to have the land completely. And we are sure that the Lord will do amazing things, and we are so grateful because the chief is with us. He is so happy and he loves us. We keep praying, pray with us, because we want to see this happening in soon future. We want to have our documentation for this land.
July, we received the documentation, as you can see here, in the fall.
We desire to see God's kingdom established in Mozambique through 24/7 worship and prayer on this land. We also believe that leaders from across the nations will come to this place specifically to seek the face of God, to rest, to receive refreshing, to catch the vision and the heartbeat of heaven, and then to go out and release it into the rest of the nations in the earth. We believe that this land is a fulfillment that was a vision in the Gokis' heart, which was confirmed through a prophetic dream which was given to their son Michael while on a mission trip in Mozambique in 2003, of frontline buildings that were constructed on the bluffs overlooking the Indian Ocean.
This is Pastor Jose this past fall. Pardon? Oh, it doesn't work for that. Okay. Well, Pastor Jose is confirming all this that happened and giving glory to God and saying that getting our papers was miraculous. So we're very excited about it. We're stepping in saying, okay, Lord, we have this now. You gave us the vision. You gave us the plan. Now you're going to give us the provision, the people, and everything. But if you really want to understand spiritual warfare, you're going to see over these years that the enemy will definitely try to knock people out of what they embraced and said, yeah, this is the vision you've given me. And he's already been working and doing that, but Jesus is bigger than that. So we just call in the fullness of God's plan. Lord, whatever your plan is, we're partnering with it. And we know, Lord God, that your plan is much bigger than anything we could ever ask for, think, or imagine. So we're believing and standing for everything that you have determined shall come to pass, and the people to bring that to pass. You're looking for willing people. You're looking for people with hearts of excitedness, of enthusiasm, to be able to embrace the vision that comes from heaven. So we thank you for that. We thank you for the people who rally around this, Lord, and the many others that you're going to bring to help fulfill the walking out of what this is to look like. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Yeah, and we also, when we're in Mozambique, we're going to be going into many villages. We have some new ones that we're going into in the province of Inhambane and also in Gaza. And Pastor Jose, who was on the tape or the recording, he said that we're maybe or probably trying to set up several conferences, several leaders' conferences, African style. I don't know where those will be exactly, but he's looking into doing that. And of course, we always go over there, and we're really favored by the Lord, because when we take these 3 weeks with Pastor Jose, who's extremely busy, and he's a world changer, and he's tethered also with us, Frontline Ministries International, but also Iris Global, very, very powerfully as the senior leader and pastor there. He doesn't take other groups and do this. And we've been doing this since 2003. So this is our connection that's from God. It's a family connection, kingdom connection, ministerial connection, and it's for his purposes. So we need to have the right understanding of finances, of tithing, of generosity, and of the places especially where God's going to do way past this place, you know, in bringing in finances, I'm sure. But he's also starting and saying, look what I've given you, stop and think. So it's really important that you're on track with what God says, not what I say or Pastor Bill says per se. But if we're on track with what God says, then that's a good thing. But really, I'm asking you, by the Spirit of God, I believe, to sit down with the Holy Spirit and talk to him about your finances. This is not a money talk. This is appeal for obedience to the Word of God. Many times we can become so super spiritual that we don't even think there's a place for tithing and things like that. And there is, biblically. So we're going to resend out Bill Johnson an email that has two links. And we ask you to watch it. We ask you to do this and put it before the Lord. If you don't have a firm foundation in that area, or that you think you do and it needs to be strengthened, or whatever it would be, just so that we can get on the same page with what the Lord is saying to the body of Christ. That's all. He gives a good background on the scriptures and the heart behind the Old Testament and the New Testament, and bringing them together, bridging them together. So our mission team will be the first for that challenge to take place. And then after that, we're just asking that you guys would do that as well. So we can step into, it's not stepping into the law, it's stepping into the grace for what God wants to do, to accomplish. And as I said, it goes way beyond us. The Lord owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. But what he's saying is, I want my people, thank you, to be in alignment with what I'm seeing, in what I am expressing. So when you get that, I'm asking that you'll carve out the time and take a look at that. And if this rattles your cage a little bit or makes your feathers go, good, that's all right. Because we want all of us to be stirred. And also, there's supernatural protection when we step into tithing. It's promised in the scripture. And when we step out into these wacko zones that aren't really wacko to the Lord, we're stepping out in faith. The Lord wants us to be able to take advantage of all the tools that we have and the spiritual weaponry that we have. And so this is one of them. So I'm just encouraging you to think about that. And that's beautifully covered in this Bill Johnson time to, you know, for you to be able to watch. We just encourage you to do it and strengthen you. Okay? And Troy has something. Troy and Rach. Or Troy. And also, we got a call from Inez, or a text, and she fell. And Inez Nunez is works over with the Children's Center over in the favela, in the community, in Cidade de Deus, in Sao Paulo, Brazil. She's our director of Frontline Brazil, and she was walking and slipped and broke her knee and had emergency surgery the next morning. And I just talked with her the last couple of days, and the doctor is saying that she would have to be on crutches for 2 months. Very difficult to walk in the community, to go to work, to drive in Sao Paulo and all that. Anyway, we just aren't happy about this, but thrilled that she was able to have the surgery and it was able to be repaired easily. And that was the route that God chose to take. And so we're just trusting God for a complete and total turnaround. So I just want, she'll be listening to this, and so to encourage her, I'm just asking you also to join in with me as we have a heartfelt, just a release for her specifically. Father, we just thank you for protecting Inez. Thank you for protecting her life. Thank you, Father, that it wasn't worse than it was. But Father, thank you that you are a God of healing and restorative work. And Lord, we're believing for a complete and total turnaround, restorative work for Inez. Thank you, Lord, that what the doctor said would take 2 months. We know that you have the final word, great intercessor and high priest and healer. So Father, we just give you the glory. We thank you, Lord, that you're reducing and retracting pain from this, and she'll be able to be fully mobile without any arthritis setting in or any debilitation at all. No long-lasting effect. So we thank you for this, and thank you for your quick answer to prayer and your healing and deliverance for this, in Jesus' mighty name. And we also want to continue to remember Mikey Ramey, Barb and I get to pray a lot, you know, on the phone. So we're just going to also, as a family, just lift him up. And Mary and Don, who have been very sick, and Don is back in the hospital, we understand, and Mary's still struggling to whatever degree. We've been trying to make connection and haven't had too much to be able to report to you, but want to lift them up to you as well. And also Mike McRae's mother, Mary Teresa, she's an Altman again, and we're trusting that she will be back on the list for a new liver and for a liver transplant, or Jesus, you give her a new one, a creative miracle. Either we'll just take whatever you prefer, but we call in a creative miracle first in Jesus' name. So Father, we just lift up these precious ones to you. We lift up Inez and Mary and Don and Mary Teresa and Mike and Remy, and we thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that you're completely turning around all these situations. We thank you that we just absolutely agree with heaven, and we call heaven to earth in fullness in Jesus' name for a complete turnaround, and they will have testimonies, Lord, to be able to share of your greatness, of your goodness, and your glory. And we thank you, Lord, for the fire that surrounds them. And Father, we commit to you that we will pray this in as intercessors. So Father, we just give you our love, and we give you our gratitude and our expectancy, and we thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You feel that power? Oh. Just encourage you also to make every attempt to come out on Tuesdays and Sundays, especially while we're gone. You know, when some of the blue shirts are gone, there's a definite noticing there, and it helps to increase everyone's faith, people who are here. So when you look around and go, oh my gosh, it feels different because there's a few missing, sometimes that can give the enemy a place. And go, oh, things are not good. You know, it's not true, but it's good to come out. It's good to make the effort. It's not about our schedules and our life. It's about community living, and it's about the Lord. So we bring those two together, and we just encourage you to do that, to make sacrifices if necessary and come, to be able to support all that are giving of their all here who are doing double duty in Jesus' name. So children, thank you for being so patient. You're released to kingdom land right now for what God wants to do. I want to go through, I was going to spend a lot of time today, but I don't think we have that, but I'm going to encourage you to read the book of Colossians. I've been doing a Bible study in Ephesians. We've had 4 meetings, and we're just going to have to put that on hold for several weeks, but today I want to go through some things in Colossians that I think are very important for the season that we live in. In Colossians last week, I began going through in chapter 1, verses 13 through 26, really talking about the supremacy of Christ, really talking about the deity of Christ, really talking about our attention being on Jesus Christ, and that he would be, our devotion to him would bring the fulfillment of our relationship with the Holy Spirit and our relationship with Father. It's amazing how the Lord set this up. He gave us the fullness of his deity in bodily form. And he said that he's the firstborn among many brethren, and that he is the one who is the sufficient one for the church. And the Lord says that all we need is found in him. Everything that we need, everything that we could possibly hope for, want, ask for, even imagine, is found in the fulfillment of knowing Jesus personally and having a strong, strong connection with him. And so I wanted to give you just another little background. I don't know if I got into that last week too much because of the different direction I felt the Lord was taking. But I know that it's important to set a little bit of a tone here when it comes to what God is saying about Ephesians and why it was even written. So if I didn't, I don't think I mentioned too much about that last week, but I have in Colossians when we started that study. But this week I do want to go backtrack just a little bit and tell you that Ephesians was written by the Apostle Paul, written in 62 A.D., so after Christ. And Ephesus was actually about 100 miles apart from Colossae, which is very close, but very far, you know, when you're walking with your sandals and camels and such. But still, it's considered a sister city. So his sister was close in that respect. And Paul, being the apostle at large for the church at that time, and obviously for that region, he made sure that his people, the people that were coming to Christ where the gospel had been spread, would really be tethered to Jesus, and they would have sound doctrine and strong exhortation for living life, both. In other words, just telling people what to do, how to live, how to breathe, and all of that just isn't enough. And if you've been in any church, this church or any other place, if you've been anywhere where you have the how-tos, we can try and try and try and try, and we can do a pretty good job overall. But God says that he wants us to be able to have the understanding and the revelation of Jesus so strong in our heart that when things rise up to challenge the way that we want to walk out our love connection, that we will have such a strong connected emphasis in the Spirit with Jesus that we won't be fooled, we won't stumble, we won't fall, we won't be deceived, we won't be knocked out of the park. So Paul was extremely confident that this was the order of the program, so to speak. This is how God wants to do business, kingdom business. So he's very sure about our foundations. So one of the foundations of giving financially and stewardship isn't a main thrust in this particular book, but it is on Paul's heart, and you'll find in different places that he will speak about that, finances and stewardship and giving of your time and your monies and resources. You know, so that is, that would be, of course, bent on the Lord's preeminence, Jesus' preeminence in your heart, my heart, really taking root in a deeper way. So in other words, if God says it's important to give generously without reproach and to be able to be a lavish lover and just a hilarious giver, you know that that's going to come, that's going to happen as we fall more in love with Jesus. So Paul knows that. But in this particular book, the people in Colossae had encountered the truth and they had encountered the gospel. But they also had encountered, you know, some worms coming in and trying to create a mixture. And a mixture so that they wouldn't be as strong and dynamic and forthright that Paul knew that they could be. Because when you embrace Jesus and the fullness of the gospel of the kingdom, there's no stopping that. There's just no stopping a person like that. It might be hard, you know, but it is simple. It might not be easy, but it's simple. Simple in that the gospel of the kingdom is full in such a way that we will have the ability to walk out everything that God says. So Paul knows that and knew that. So anyway, his people in Colossae, there's a possibility from some of the verses in that very small book that Paul was in prison and not there, that they may not have even known him. There's an indication in chapter 2 and chapter 4, and we'll look at some of these verses, that he may not have this strong interpersonal relationship with him, but he was known. And many believe that Epaphras, one of his followers, one of the disciples, if you would, of Jesus, who was a spiritual son and a leader with Paul, that he was the leader of the church there, and that he was one who really was going to deliver a letter that was penned in prison. Many people think it was in Rome. So in 62 AD, again, Paul's in prison, you know, in total contentment, walking with the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Spirit, and he's hearing about this mixture that's going on. And, you know, with the various, when you read the scriptures, it doesn't name the particular type of heresy, although there are many different ones. There's Gnosticism and many heresies that entered into the early days of the Christian church. But this particular one was one that took some old biblical religious beliefs, Old Testament religious beliefs, and mixed that with new Jesus, new life found in Jesus Christ in me, the hope of glory, mixed that, and then brought in some worldly things as well, dealing with how to legalistically go and do God and do life. And so, you know, with that in mind, Paul writes this letter, and he has another follower, his name is Titus, and he is one that scholars believe, and it's also mentioned in that book, that he's delivering this letter to these people in Colossae. So, last week when we were talking about the amazing, incomparable Jesus, which I think is just something to think about, and if you weren't here, listen to it online, just get stirred up, just listen to the word, it's really good. And God just continues, we just stopped at verse, I think it was 26, and he continues, you know, to go on a little bit more about Jesus, and then he goes into chapter 2. And chapter 2 then is dealing still with Jesus and his preeminence, but there's also a place where Paul comes alongside as a father and starts to lift them up and says, as a result of who Jesus is, this is how you need to understand. I am exhorting you to be able to see God through the eyes that I'm that I've been entrusted with. I have been a steward of his glory. I have been asked, because of what he has released, this beautiful mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory, I've been asked to guard that, to steward that, and to release that to you. And that no longer is a mystery. And God is saying that if you know him, if you know Jesus, the Spirit of God lives in you. And now the rest is yet to come. But you must guard your initial heart. Yes, I believe, because we're drawn by the Spirit. There's a wooing by the Spirit of God. And he's in the scriptures. He's in, his presence is everywhere. And his scriptures are alive and well. And when someone would speak about Christ crucified, Christ buried, Christ resurrected, people were drawn by the Spirit. And they say, yes, what do I need to do to be saved? Now they need to be also taught what the scriptures are saying about the supremacy of Christ. So that was in jeopardy, not the supremacy of Christ, but people grabbing onto the supremacy of Christ in all areas, and that led to many people accepting the mixture and even stepping into the heresy. And so there was this, there's a very well-known place in Colossians 2, and we're going to go through that in a second. If you want to put the scriptures up, Amber, that'd be great. And we'll look at the Amplified. And I'm kind of stirring the pot here from last week and this week. They go together, these two Sundays, and I won't be here, you know, to continue that. Pastor Bill will preach whatever God tells him to. But I'm really encouraging you in this season to open your Bible, sit out under a tree, go climb a tree, go outside, go on a boat, whatever. Get your Bible open. Start reading these passages, even if you've read them many times before. It's very, very significant. So in chapter 2, he says, "For I want you to know how great is my solitude for you." In other words, his inward struggle where he has on his heart, oh my gosh, these children, these spiritual children of mine aren't grounded. They're not tethered. They can be. And some of them are, but some of them are not. And so if they're babies, they're going to be tossed to and fro, and they're not going to feel close to Jesus. They're going to feel distance from Christ. They're going to feel farther from Christ. It's just, you know, it'll be like, okay, I'll go to a meeting. I'll be obedient. I just don't feel something. I just can't. Ugh, aren't I supposed to feel good, feel excited and powerful and all that? Yes. But if something is kind of slithered in and created through a mixture, created something that will disengage that believer's ability just, you know, easily embrace Jesus, that makes Paul mad, sad and mad, not at people, but at the enemy. So he's trying to help them. He says, this is the way out, guys, and I really want you to get this. So this is good for us today, especially in light of what our country seems to have said at the Supreme Court, but we know that the Supreme Court in heaven has the final word. We know that, and that's not a play on words, and that's not to trivialize anything that we know has happened in recent time. And we know that God will give us exactly what to say, what to do, and the mandate to be able to stand for what he says is true and right, and that we will not be affected by anything that has mixture in it. We will not. And we will be influencers bringing and releasing peace. That's our call. And God's going to teach everyone how to do that even more effectively. One of the ways to do that, not just from a judicial perspective when we pray and intercede, which is very helpful, but also that we become so understanding of our place in all of this, our place in history at this time, why we were brought here, why we're alive, and what we're supposed to do, that if we put the cart before the horse and we have unbridled zeal, which means, okay, let's just go fix everything. Okay, that's crazy. It's not God's way. But he is watching. He's not surprised. He's not nervous in heaven at all. He's very sure of who he is and what he wants to see in our nation, in our country, in the world, and we get to partner with that. So you'll be hearing more about that. So, you know, we're not worried or fearful. We're very confident in Christ and absolutely assured that Jesus knows what to do, and he is calling those who know him now to become so strong that they're going to be able to help those who aren't as strong, fellow believers, to be able to pull them out of the muck, especially in this time, to be able to see others through his eyes, especially in this time, not just unbelievers, but believers. I personally believe that one of the biggest pows that the enemy wants to try to bring is between believer and believer. That's what he wants to do. And the line is being drawn in the sand, and God is saying, listen, those of you who really hear my voice and decide, I want to be led by you, Holy Spirit, I really do, then you're going to be used to help other believers come into that reality, because that's what Paul was doing. Okay? Colossians is very, very important in that. So this is very fun, this particular book. So again, in verse 1, he says, many of you have never seen my face or known me personally. So this is an indication that perhaps he hasn't been there at all. That's a possibility, and he kind of emphasizes that in chapter 4 as well. For my concern is that their hearts may be braced, comforted, cheered, and encouraged as they are knit together in love. Think of your friends who are not comforted by the Holy Spirit, cheered and encouraged by the Holy Spirit working through us. They might have, you know, smiles on faces, but there's a difference between having a smile on your face and being comforted, cheered, and encouraged in the Holy Spirit, in the power of the Holy Ghost. So this is going to be, I believe, an opportunity for us to be able to pray over one another and pray out for ourselves and other people that we know, as well as the mission to Africa, you know, which is not, I'm not minimizing that. I want you to pray, certainly. But also, you know, in Canton and those kinds of things. But going into any place that has darkness, the Lord says, I want you to go in as strong children of mine. And I need you to strengthen up, beef up, go to the gym. We're going to the gym. We're doing some gym work right here, okay? The Kingdom Gym. So it's very important for you to continue this at home. As they are knit together in love, that they may come to have all the abounding wealth and blessings of assured conviction of understanding, and that they may become progressively more intimately acquainted with and may know more definitely and accurately and thoroughly that mystic secret of God, which is Christ, the Anointed One. Okay, now, flip over, if you can. Can you do this to the Message Bible? And chapter 2, verse 2. We'll bring it down, but I also love the wording in the Amplified, because it has power and strength. And the Lord created our whole universe, just spoke the words into, used his words and spoke everything into existence. So his words are creative. And I believe that the Message can help stir us up, but I believe the Amplified is going to give us meat to be able to anchor and hook our teeth into and say, yes, I'm going to pray that over myself. I'm going to start to feel stronger in Jesus about the supremacy of Christ and also his plan within that supremacy. I want you to realize, this is verse 2 in Colossians, the Message. I want you to realize that I continue to work as hard as I know how for you, and also for the Christians over at Laodicea. Not many of you have met me face to face, but that doesn't make any difference. Know that I'm on your side, right alongside you. You're not in this alone. I want you woven into a tapestry of love, in touch with everything there is to know of God. Then you will have minds confident and at rest, focused on Christ, God's great mystery. All the richest treasures of wisdom and knowledge are embedded in that mystery and nowhere else. And we've been shown the mystery. I'm telling you this because I don't want anyone leading you off on some wild goose chase after other so-called mysteries or the secret. Can we just go to verse 3 then too, please? Okay, I guess it's 5. That was 2 to 4. Just 2, 5, please. I'm a long way off, true, and you may never lay eyes on me, but believe me, I'm on your side, right beside you. I'm delighted to hear of the careful and orderly ways you conduct your affairs. and impressed with the solid substance of your faith in Christ. And then he starts to give counsel. Now he's giving counsel in 6 and 7, and we're going to go back to the Amplified. It says, my counsel for you is simple and straightforward. Just go ahead with what you've been given. You've received Christ Jesus the Master. Now live him. You're deeply rooted in him. You're well constructed upon him. You know your way around the faith. Now do what you've been taught. School's out. Quit studying the subject and start living it. And let your living spill over into thanksgiving. Let's do 8. The next one, please. Now, this is where he comes in as a papa, because he's warning. Now, we can have things that come against us and not see them. And they're called traps because we don't see them. So if somebody else sees a trap and says, wow, here's a trap, then it would do us well to pay attention. But Paul is coming in and saying, here, let me show you how to prepare yourself to not fall into deception and not receive something that's got mixture. And so you're not fooled, because you're really nice people. You know? And so God is, unfortunately, many in our country did not choose to exalt the name of Jesus Christ, maybe even go to church, but never have the backbone, the Christian backbone coming from the gospel of the kingdom, to be able to step in and say no. Okay, in many ways. And I believe if the church will rise, which we're trusting God for, in America, we can see things change, because God gives us hope to believe for that. So watch out for people who try to dazzle you with big words and intellectual double talk. They want to drag you off into endless arguments that never amount to anything. They spread their ideas through the empty traditions of human beings and the empty superstitions of spirit beings. But that's not the way of Christ. Everything of God gets expressed in him, so you can see and hear him clearly. You don't need a telescope, a microscope, or a horoscope to realize the fullness of Christ and the emptiness of the universe without him. When you come to him, that fullness comes together for you. His power extends over everything. Okay. Let's go back to, let me double check. I have the NASB here, so was that verse 10 that I just finished in the message? It was 10? Okay. Let's do the next one, because they go together. Let's do the next grouping. Message is a little bit different, and then we'll go back to Amplified, okay? Okay, entering into this fullness is not something you figure out or achieve. It's not a matter of being circumcised or keeping a long list of laws. No, you're already in. You're insiders. Not through some secretive initiation rite, but rather through what Christ has already done gone through for you, destroying the power of sin. If it's an initiation ritual you're after, you're already gone through it by submitting to baptism. Going under the water was a burial of your old life. Coming up out of it was a resurrection. And God raising you from the dead as he did Christ. When you were stuck in your old sin-dead life, you were incapable of responding to God. God brought you alive. That's awesome. Right along with Christ. Think of it. All sins forgiven, the slate wiped clean, that old arrest warrant canceled, and nailed to Christ's cross. He stripped all the spiritual tyrants in the universe of their sham authority at the cross and marched them naked through the streets. I mean, that's really powerful. When you go back into the Amplified, which we're going to do, and I can't do the whole book today, but I just really believe that this could be something over iced tea, that you start reading and go, oh my gosh, that's amazing. I know I'm born again. Gosh, I got baptized. I know I was crucified with Christ. Yes, I want to be dead. All these kinds of things that we want to agree with. But when you read the scripture and you just meditate on that word of God, oh my gosh, it's just so stirring, so incredibly stirring. And it touches us in the deepest places, and it pushes back discouragement and depression and hopelessness and fear. It pushes it back because our minds are fixed on things above. Some of you who know Colossians well, if you don't, you can start. In chapter 3, in verse 1, it talks about, now, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. But here's what the deal is. Many times we go to that scripture and we say, that's what I'm going to do. And we try, boom, down we go. And it's like, what the heck? This doesn't work. Anybody ever feel that way? But it does work because Jesus works. If you notice again that Paul puts that mandate, set your mind on things above, in chapter 3, because he spent chapter 1 and 2 just raising up the name of Jesus, raising up who he is, raising up the preeminence and the superiority of his covenant, raising up everything about Jesus Christ and where we fit in that, and letting us know that if we will go after Jesus with everything in our heart, everything, every gift, every anointing, every freedom that we say that we have been given by God, will start to take root and start to take place and actually manifest in our lives. And that fruit that remains will actually come, the fruit that remains that we're looking for. So this is a secret weapon to go after Jesus. It's kind of obvious, Captain Obvious here. But the thing is that many times we forget that, thinking we're going to find a strategy, and this strategy is going to help me defeat the devil. And the Lord says, yeah, that's true, but I am the strategy. It's me. Hello. It's Jesus. So chapter 1, chapter 2, and then chapter 3, oh my gosh, goes into set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. You've been crucified with Christ. You've been dead in your sins, and now you get to live in the new nature. But what's so cool about this is that the actual flesh became part of who Jesus went to the cross becoming sin. Okay? The flesh that we struggle with actually was crucified. Okay? Says it in Scripture. Says it in Colossians 2. That flesh no longer exists. That's the old nature. That's the carnal nature. That's the old man. And that doesn't exist. So when we do embrace that flesh, when we do act in the flesh, the enemy wants us to do this. Okay? Well, come on. I'm just human. I just have flesh. I'm just trying. Come on. That's what the enemy wants. Because if we can do that, then we can legitimize the flesh. Scripturally, there's no legitimizing the flesh because it was already completely taken away, crucified at the cross. It's not part of our nature any longer. We are absolutely dead to that nature unless we choose to walk in that carnality of the old nature. It's like, whoa. So, well, you see, God empowers us to not do that. If we agree with heaven, if we say, yeah, that's what it says. Yeah, that's what that verse says. That's what I believe. Oh my gosh, I'm going to sing about that. I'm going to sing about the blood. Even last week when we were singing about the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, we didn't have Hebrews open and go through every verse on the blood, but we had enough understanding of the blood of Jesus that as we stepped in and sang about the blood, boom, you know, Jesus came in the spirit, showed up here. Angels were here. Anointing was here. All kinds of things happened. Think about last week. It was amazing. And this is amazing too. So this is another tool in our tool belt, in our arsenal. Step into reading the word and enjoying the word and bringing the word to life over yourself, over your family, over your finances, over the ministries, over us in where are we going? Mozambique. That'll make a big difference. Every time we come back from Mozambique, when we have bigger teams like this, you know, 14 or more or whatever, and we're sitting around and we're talking about the Word and the Lord, and we're going through 3 hours of just having this great time in the Word, and you know, and we're praising God and worshiping. And there's so much focus on the Spirit of God, on the Holy Spirit. Virtually everybody, if not everybody, will just say, comes back, just on fire, ready to go. Not just because we saw healings and salvations and deliverances, but because of this closeness and this intimacy. And God is saying, this is what I've got for you. And Paul's heart to the people in Colossae was so strong. He was saying, listen, guys, listen. I got to write this letter. I can't even get there. I'm okay. I'm in prison. But read this letter and just eat it. Go to a banquet and eat it, like a piece of bread or a loaf of bread. Eat the whole loaf, as Pastor Bill says, because this is going to unlock things. If you feel dull, get in the Word and start saying, I'm finished feeling dull. If you feel I can't really connect, you know, it just isn't doing anything for me, or whatever is coming against you, that's a ploy from the enemy. It's not the real you, but it feels like the real you. It's not the real you. The real you is agreeing with everything in the Scriptures, because the Lord made it that way. That when we said yes to Jesus, He gave us the capacity in our spirit to go yes and agree with everything. So the real you is crying on the inside saying, let me out. That's the real you and the real me. That's exciting. And that anything else that comes to rip that out of our gut, you know, through depression or despondency or lethargy, or, you know, this stuff is way too much. It's over the top. I want something a little easier. This radical stuff is weird. I don't know. It's, what's radical to me? Even that word is kind of strange. Radical. Jesus is radical. Jesus is unique. Jesus is Jesus, right? And He's saying, I've made a way for you to enjoy me that way. It's going to go against what the real you is drowning in sometimes, or me. It's like, oh, well, that's kind of very cool. That's love. It's really, really loving and really, really kind. Oh, Jesus, you're good. Oh, wouldn't it be great if my eyes were completely healed overseas and didn't have to wear these anymore? That's so good. Anybody getting stirred up to do some more reading in the Word? Spend some more time? Yeah? I hope so, because I think it's going to make a very big difference in where we're going individually and corporately as well. Okay. Let's put the Amplified back up, would you please, Amber? Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to read to you from the NASB. If you can just hear this as you're looking up there, you can look at the verse that correlates with that. In verse 3, let me read verse 2. This is the NASB. Just listen to this, please. That their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ Himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So we're talking about Christ Himself, the person of Christ, not an idea, not a thought. Verse 4 says, I say this so no one will delude you with persuasive argument. Delude you. How many people in here would say, I'd love to be deluded? Go ahead, try. If you're deluded because there's a persuasive argument, you won't see it. If delusion comes your way, the only way to see it is to be so grounded and tethered in Jesus that you'll recognize that, because the Spirit of God will go, that's not my voice. That's the only way. Persuasion is strong. Persuasive arguments against the kingdom of God are very strong. And they look reasonable and sound reasonable, but they're not. Verse 5, for even though I am absent in body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. So He's blessing them, saying, you're spending time with Jesus. That's good. You're disciplined. That's a good thing. But He's still warning them, because He still knows what's out there. He has eyes to see. And He knows that many of them are still somewhat infantile. They haven't reached the level of maturity that He has reached. And He's saying, let me show you. Let me show you. Verse 6. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. 7. having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. Now, why? I always wondered about this. If God was blessing these people, saying, well, this is who you are. Let me read it again. Why is he warning them? What's the reason? Verse 7, it says, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude, walk in him. Okay? See to it. Now, here's where it gets kind of, whoa. He doesn't want them to get puffed up. He sees humility. He sees effort. He sees trying. He sees stewardship. He sees attempts. He sees this. But he also says in verse 8 something that should really wreck us. And we should have that in our hearts really strongly to be able to do something about it. Not just go, oh, I see something that's not good. That doesn't do anybody any good. But verse 8 says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. And then he goes back into, again, more about Jesus. He says, for in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And, 10, in him you have been made complete. And he is the head over all rule and authority. And in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Jesus. God's word is clear, saying we don't have to. And God doesn't make it so strong, impossible, that we're always fighting and it's just miserable. That's not Jesus. That's not the life of Jesus. So he's saying, if you will embrace the fullness of what has been written, has been demonstrated, has been testified of, has been released, in other words, this great, amazing mystery, I'm telling you, you're going to live a life that's going to be so full that you'll be able to be content even when hardships come. And that's the only way he was able to even do this. He's not some superhero. Jesus is the superhero. But he found the secret to living in the way that he could live and absolutely not compromise Jesus. It's just amazing to me. But he tells us in the scripture, he's very clear. You know, he's saying, you've got to do it Jesus' way. If you do it any other way because it feels right, it won't work. And you won't be able to find the power. You might feel, I feel better inside, but you won't have power to resist. And deception, delusion will come. It has to come because that's the nature of the enemy. Has to. This is not just for the people of Colossae. This is for them, but this is for us. He says, listen, I'm calling you to become strong. I'm proud of you with your discipline. I'm proud of you that you love Jesus. I'm proud of you. Now, take some steps here to get walled into the fortress that's really around you so that you know it, because you will become so dangerous. So, so dangerous. Do you want to be dangerous? Really, really dangerous to the enemy? When you say yes, mean yes. Because if it's yes, then there's a price. And the price is you have to give everything. You have to just say, here I am. If your word says, you're all I need, this is it. Bottom line, you start taking those line by line by line precepts and truths, then, oh my gosh. Victory is absolutely guaranteed for each one of us. Victory. Victory. And we will hear the voice of God more clearly. We will. And we will have unspeakable joy on the inside. If we're walking around and we're heavy-hearted and heavy-handed, and this heaviness goes up and down and up and down and in and out, we talked about that last week, and the joy is just momentary, it's temporary, then something is moving, and it's not the real you. That's the good part. It's not the real you. It's like, oh, good. I like me. I want me to change, but I like me. I want me to change. But I like what Jesus has done in me. Okay? Thank you, Paul, for writing this. So amazing. In the body of flesh, it says, in the removal of the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So we're not talking a physical circumcision. We're talking a spiritual circumcision. But that's what we went through when we were born again. Spiritual circumcision. Amazing. And then it goes into, in case people were wondering what that meant, Paul said, well, you guys were baptized. And many of you in here were water baptized. And if you haven't been, you need to be. Okay? If you're believers. All right? So we don't have to be baptized 25 times. But, if you haven't been baptized, this is a good thing. But he goes and he says to them, well, listen, you guys have been baptized. You know what that means. So you've already taken those steps of discipline. That's a good thing. But the more you engage with what happened during your baptism, that's going to become a reality for you, and it's going to push the darkness away. Marriages will improve. Relationships will improve. Futures will start to make sense. There'll be stewardship of finances that will break loose. There will be things that just can't even imagine. It's like things are increasing, improving, even though there's tough times. The tough times Jesus faced, Paul faced, it's a reality. We can't escape those. We just can't. It's just not the way it is. But when we have Jesus, we're going to be fortified and strengthened in new ways. Okay, verse 12 says, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, uncircumcision, cutting away, uncircumcision of your flesh, we were dead. In other words, our flesh was rampant. There was no snipping away. There was no cutting away. There was no removal of the body of flesh. It was active. It was strong. And you and I were doing what we were created to do, living in the flesh and living by the power of sin. Not good, but it's the reality. So when Jesus came and actually brought an end to that, the Lord wants us to cheer. And he wants us to be so excited about this that we want to live the way that he said we can, because he did it already. And he will unravel things so we can be able to do this and help others do the same. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, verse 13, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven all of our transgressions. 14, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us. There is a decree against my life, your life, your spouse's life, your friend's life. Think about it. Your aunt, your uncle's, cousins, grandsons, granddaughters. They're on a hit list. That should make us mad at the enemy, because our battle is not against flesh and blood. That's why we need Jesus. We can't just sing about, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free, and then not live in the way that we sing. We can, but if we do, more than likely, we're not adhering to what's in here spiritually. In other words, if we eat this literally, spiritually, okay, it's going to change us on the inside. We will be different. We have to be. And we will read and praise and pray and intercede until it happens, because he promises that. It's based on him. It's based on his promises. It's not based on us. But he will give us the power, the strength, the authority. But we got to do it his way. That's why I also brought up tithing. Come on, if he says there's protection, if we're not tithing or we're not understanding anything about the financial realm and what that means and what that looks like and the heart of Jesus behind it, and tithing is just a step to be able to live completely, supernaturally, generously, way beyond that. So God is saying, step into that and trust me. Not trust me when times are good. Trust me when times are not so good or easy. Trust me. Watch what I do. I will strengthen you. I will change you. Change. Oh, that's a good word. Okay. Having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us. Let that rattle, you guys. 14. which was hostile to us. Ooh. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. In himself, he was nailed to the cross. It's not a debt that was a piece of paper. He became the issue. So he nailed himself, if you will, to the cross for everything that we struggle with, every single thing. We think about that every day when we get up. That will change things for us. 15, when he disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. He disarmed them, rulers, authorities. He disarmed them. He took away their weapons. He took away their arsenal. He took away their artillery. They had to lay it down, and he made a public spectacle of them. He said, you've lost everything. I've got the keys, not you any longer. These are my people. Get your hands off my people, and they're going to live the way that I have paid a big price for them to live, because I'll make it happen. I'll make it possible. And the Lord says, when we agree with that, and when we partner with that, the enemy will really, really leave. When the Bible says in James 4:7, submit yourself to God, he's talking about this God, and resist the devil that way. He has to back off. And if he's not backing off, you keep resisting, because he has to. It's our promise. It's totally true. And we need this for our children, for our grandchildren, for the people who are close to us. Really, and we need to pray them out of the crud that they're in. Any of you who know people who are in crud, and maybe that's you, and maybe it's people you know, pray them out. Pray the word. Intercede. Pray. Because God said, I've done it, but they're captured. They're prisoners. Use the word of God. It's powerful. Really powerful. Shika. Thank you, Jesus. Wow, that's a good word. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. And he goes on to say in 16, 17, 18, and 19, he says, look, if people start judging you by what you eat or what you drink or what you do or what you don't do, and you start getting off on that, you're mixed up, okay? I've got standards here of holy living, and you can follow that. So don't think this means it doesn't matter what you do. It does matter. But if you're getting your kudos from that, going, well, now I'm spiritual, that just won't work, and that will not keep the devil away. So don't fall for that. But at the same time, absolutely, don't think anything goes, because it doesn't. That's where we fool ourselves, because I've got the Father's love, so I can do anything. No way. It just doesn't work that way. And the enemy wants us to believe that. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 20 says, and we're going to go to 23 and then stop. 20, that's the end of chapter 2. If you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees such as don't handle this, don't taste this, don't touch, which all refers to things destined to perish with use in accordance with the commandments and teachings of men? Why are you doing that? In other words, if it's of man, then run away from that. But if it's of me, and the Spirit of God is bringing that inner conviction, because you have a bottle of the body of the temple of the Holy Ghost, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and you say, I'm just not running there anymore. I don't want to. That's just not my deal. That's the world I want to be part of. And that's your conviction of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Okay? Listen to the Holy Spirit. So he's just trying to get their hearts back on track here. Verse 23 says, these are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence. Okay, and again, this is dealing a lot with the heresy as well, but it's for us today. When we major on chapter 3, because I want to read the first few verses, and just then we'll close on that. When we major in there, if we don't have the foundation from 1 and 2 and the understanding from all the whole counsel of God's word, but particularly here, then it doesn't make any sense. We'll go pull that verse out and go, that's what I'm doing. And then we struggle in spiritual warfare, and we struggle, and it just feels like horrible. But when we start elevating Jesus and we start agreeing with him about who he is, and why he is, and always was and always will be. Oh my, we will change. We will change. And then when we get to chapter 3, and we say, therefore, as a result, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, the things I just gave you, Paul said, the things that I just penned, those things. Set your mind on those things. Set your mind not on the things that are on the earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, as a result, love it. Consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, which amounts to adultery. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside: anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. These are the areas we once walked in, not any longer. And put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Back when I was a Bible teacher at Heritage Christian School many years ago, some of you may remember that, we used to sing Colossians 3:12-17. I'd play my guitar and everybody would sing, and you know, that's how we memorized scripture, and it was just lovely. But so many people, and you can read it, 12-17, you know, it's just beautiful. It's like, yes, 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 I want to live that way, yes. But for many, chapter 1, 2, and most of 3 were not a reality on the inside. And so even though they felt good, even though they memorized their scripture, because we had to do that in that school, they have to memorize the scripture, which is a good thing, but it doesn't necessarily make anyone spiritual. Can. But what is underneath that, the foundation, that needed to be received so that house that was built up, you know, as we sang about, here we are, God's chosen people, here's how we should live, yaha, that could get inundated with the mixture of the world without the true foundation of who Jesus is. So read those verses, okay? Read the rest of Colossians. I will miss you for these weeks. God bless you. Father, I just thank you for this powerful word because it's your word. I thank you, Lord God, that you are doing something really deep in our hearts, Father, to tether us to you, to the absolute authoritative supremacy of you, Lord Jesus Christ, in a new way, God, that is destined to bring us into a place of fullness and wholeness and a place that we've been created to be. Father, you have seen us as fireballs. You have seen us as roaring lions and lionesses. You've seen us this way, God. You created this for us. You created us to have this kind of passion and much more, and fire to be able to be released, God. You created us to be able to spot when someone or something would become an idol in our life. You created us to be able to have the fullness of the gospel of the kingdom right from day one, where we said, yes, Jesus, I want it all. God, we're just believing that you're big enough to bring it to pass and for our reality to be tethered with what your reality is. Father, that our perception would be our reality based on your word. Father, that when we're speaking and when we're doing kingdom life with other people and their reality would be based on their perception, that we would be able to recognize what is not scriptural and be able to help ourselves be able to stay strong, but also, Father, to be able to draw people into the truth. Because Paul said, Father, that he would love to speak loving words of persuasiveness to people, but they must be words that were based on the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ and Christ crucified. Because, Father, in that we will have all the wisdom and all the knowledge from heaven. Everything will be released to us, God. I pray this, God, for these precious ones here. I pray this for all who will be listening to this recording, God, that this will be our portion, that you reign supreme, that you are amazing. You have done so many things for us, God, and we are determined that in this season, this summer, that we're going to drive a stake in the ground and say, I'm changing by the power of the Spirit. I am changing and I'm rearranging, God. And I am going to step into that place where there will be absolute changes that will be noticed by man. Thank you, God. Father, I just thank you for the agreement with your word, because your word reigns supreme, because your word is your presence. And in your presence is fullness of joy. So, Father, we just exalt you today. And we thank you, Lord, that one drop of your blood, Jesus, changed everything. And that today we leave here strengthened and encouraged and empowered and released to really, really hear you. Thank you for your freedom, God, and for true dependence on you, which brings lasting freedom. In Jesus' name, amen.